Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like you to listen for a moment to some simple phrases and consider what all of these phrases have in common. Ready? Money is the root of all evil. This too shall pass. Cleanliness is next to godliness. God helps those who help themselves. God works in mysterious ways. Love the sinner, hate the sin. God won't give you more than you can handle. Be in the world, not of the world. Did you figure out what these often quoted phrases all have in common? Though most people who use them believe that they are from the Bible, none of them are. Of course, some of them are close to Scripture. Cleanliness in the sense of holiness is godliness. God's ways are often mysterious to us. His ways are higher than our ways, he says. His thoughts far above our thoughts. We can love our neighbor without loving or approving of his sin. But then some of these are just plain false and entirely contrary to what God teaches in Holy Scripture. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil, not money itself. God helps those who help themselves has to be one of the worst of these phrases that is ever uttered. It is entirely contrary to what God teaches in His Word. He says, while we were yet sinners, while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. That isn't help, that's resurrection. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, you love because He first loved us. Turns out this little one-liner is actually almost a direct quote from the Quran. It's far closer to Muslim theology than it is to any kind of Christian theology. Then there's the God won't give you more than you can handle. But consider Jonah sitting in the belly of the fish. I bet he wished that was true, don't you? He was in control of absolutely nothing, and it was far more than he could handle. Or imagine Peter as he's being crucified upside down, crying out, God won't give me more than I can handle. No, sadly, this is not true either. But what about be in the world and not of the world? Isn't that what Jesus said in the gospel reading today? Not quite. But before I explain, give me just a moment to let you know about the context. As Jesus and the disciples, less Judas, because he had already gone out to do his dastardly deed, left the upper room and they were on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that Jesus was being betrayed, he stopped somewhere there on the road and he began to pray for his disciples. This long chapter and a half in John's Gospel is that prayer. It's often called the high priestly prayer because Jesus intercedes for his disciples. While he's praying to his Father for his disciples, he said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, Father, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. We have to come to understand what Jesus means by the world here. Jesus speaks of the world. The word in the Greek is actually the cosmos. It is everything that God has created. He speaks of it as the place and the people of unbelief. Everything that has been corrupted by sin, everyone also. Those who have rejected the Father's word are of the world. But this is the same world that the Father loves and so sends his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The world is filled with sin and wickedness and death, but God is not destroying the world. It is precisely into this world of unbelief and death that God takes on flesh and blood in order to bring salvation to all who will listen to him and believe. The disciples, because they have received and continue to cling to the Father's word, are then not part of this world. They are not part of the world of unbelief, just as Jesus is not part of the world of unbelief. And because they are not part of the world of unbelief, that makes them a target of the evil one. Just as the evil one attacked Jesus, so he attacks all who trust in Jesus. Because Jesus knows the danger that those who bear his name and trust in his word face from those who are of this unbelieving world, those who are unbelievers, he prays for his disciples. But he doesn't pray to the Father and ask him to take the disciples out of the cosmos, at least not before it is time that has been appointed for them. Nor does he ask the Father to make them comfortable with unbelief. Far from it. Instead, he prays that the Father would protect them from the deceiver, who wants them to reject the Father's word and so give up their citizenship in heaven. This is what Jesus is talking about in the whole part of the prayer. Not whether you can live in this world or use the things of this world and enjoy the things of this world. Not whether you can own a car or have a house and a job and use money and enjoy the things of this creation. But instead, that you look for life and salvation in Jesus Christ alone. So it's not true that you can be in the world and not of the world. You are either in Christ as a new creation, or you belong to the devil. John says it this way in his first epistle that you also heard. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. You can't be in his life, but not of his life. And so the other saying is false as well. This is similar to when Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel will find it. The disciples are citizens of heaven by their God-created and given faith in Jesus Christ. And yet, if the Father were to give them their inheritance before their time, then who would preach about and confess Jesus in this unbelieving world? So it is with you. You are citizens of heaven. Jesus has put the divine name on you. He has spoken his eternal truth into your ears. He has rescued you from the world, the cosmos of unbelief, from the kingdom of the evil one. But he has not yet called for you to come home. So until that day, you don't live in the world. You live in your baptism into Christ, where you were made a new creation. You live as a child of God, as a lamb in the midst of wolves. You live in your Christian vocation, believing what God has said about your sin and what he has done to take care of it, believing that God has given you your talents and your abilities for the service of others. All this while confessing that Jesus is Christ and Lord, and that he is, even in the midst of this world, Savior from sin and death. All this also while the world hates your Lord and never accepts you either. But Jesus didn't only pray for the Father to keep his believers from the evil one. He also prayed that the Father would sanctify them in the truth, saying, "Your word is truth." It's not platitudes and Bible-y sounding phrases that save you from death and forgive you of your sins and set you free from sin. Only the truth of God's word can do this. Only Jesus is able to set you free. He doesn't help you do this for yourself. He does it all for you. And it isn't even mysterious. He tells you exactly what he's going to do, and he does it. He takes on flesh and blood and gives his life for your life. He brings you out of death, the death that you deserve because of sin, and he gives you eternal life that belongs to him. So the next time you hear one of these Bible-sounding sentences, ask the person for a reference, and then sit down together with them and look it up, and spend time listening again to what God really says. For in his words you have life. And then remember that it's the devil who twists the word of God to suit his wicked purposes, sometimes changing only a single word in order to deceive. But Jesus doesn't deceive. He's the one who prays for you. He's the one who has given his life for you. He loves you and has forgiven your sins. And at the right time, at his perfect time, he will deliver you from this valley of the shadow of death. He will send his holy angels to carry you out of this world of unbelief and bring you into his eternal joy. This is most certainly true. You can find every word of it in God's holy word. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin, and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through his word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.